singing such a blessing to my heart. We don't sing like that in Indiana just because we don't have the manpower. But boy, what a blessing to be part of singing these great hymns. Such a privilege to be here with you. I'd like to thank Paul and Debbie Overly for having me in their home. I arrived yesterday, and Paul and Debbie have been very hospitable, very kind to me, and we've had some good fellowship, so I certainly want to thank those folks for putting me up. Also, I had a blessed time yesterday with the career and college group. It was just so encouraging to my soul to hear young people who want to serve the Lord. That's something that I don't find too much of these days, to see young people wanting to seek the Lord and serve Him. So when I heard the young people last night, they were a testimony to me. I gave my testimony, but they were a testimony to me regarding the grace of Christ in their hearts. And I do pray for you young people that the Lord will keep you and preserve you and use you for your glory. Well, this morning I'd have you turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Mark, chapter 15. There's just one verse I'd like to consider this morning. Martin Luther said, "No man understands the Scriptures unless he be acquainted with the cross." He also said, "The cross alone is our theology." One man who had a unique and close-up experience of the cross of Christ was Simon of Cyrene. And we read about him in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. "And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." The word for compel in the original Greek means to forcibly impress someone into service. In a Roman-occupied country, this was a grave and serious thing. Anyone could be impressed to carry the baggage of the army for a certain distance. Anyone could be compelled to perform any service the occupiers chose to lay upon him, such as providing a horse or acting as a guide. If they chose not to cooperate with the soldiers, it could result in death for them. This business of impressment was one of the most bitterest and most constant humiliations that subject nations had to endure from the hands of the Romans. One could hardly refuse. Simon of Cyrene was therefore seized into Roman service by carrying the cross of Christ. A historian writes, "The Roman custom of execution usually required the condemned prisoner to carry his own cross to the place of execution. The Romans chose the longest public route possible in order to make an impression upon the locals. Four soldiers formed a square, in the middle of which the accused was made to carry his cross. Another soldier walked ahead of the group, carrying a board upon which was written the crime for which the man was about to die. Other soldiers kept the crowd at a distance to prevent a last-minute rescue by friends of the condemned man. Simon apparently arrived at the precise moment when Jesus could no longer drag his cross anymore." There's something deeply disturbing about a person having to carry the instrument of his own death. It's like carrying the rope that is going to hang him, or someone sharpening the axe that will chop off his own head. Jesus is not allowed to have a moment of peace before his death, because the reminder of his death is literally on his shoulders. Jesus was already brutally beaten, lashed, either too weak or too slow, and so the Roman soldiers pick a stranger from the crowd. Now, Simon was probably visiting Jerusalem for the annual feast of Passover. Cyrene was a large port city in North Africa. It was a Greek colony, but had a substantial population of Jews. From the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 9, we learn that the Cyrenian Jews had a synagogue in Jerusalem. And that was probably the place that Simon was going to observe the Passover feast. Now, the Feast of Passover celebrates the exodus of the Israelites from bondage in Egypt and remembers the night when the faithful were protected by the blood of the Lamb, a clear picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Upon his arrival in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, Simon may have been confused to see the city in such an uproar. Multitudes traveled there every year, which would heighten everyone's excitement. But this time, the atmosphere was heavy with dissension. It was just only a few days before that the Lord Jesus Christ made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on a colt. But now, things have changed. But now, he is leaving the city, his body battered and bruised, carrying the crossbeam, which historians call the patibulum. If Jesus and then Simon are carrying the patibulum upon arrival at the place of execution, the victim would be lashed to the beam, affixed with nails, and the patibulum lashed to the vertical beam. The victim would then be left on the cross to die an excruciating and agonizing death. By the time the procession gets to the city gate, Jesus apparently was having trouble carrying the cross. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was scourged twice by the soldiers. He was up all night, had no rest, and was weak and exhausted, having already lost so much blood. He may have fallen under the weight of the cross and was just slowing the procession down so that the soldiers became impatient with this delay. Whatever the reason was, the soldiers looked around for someone to help bear the cross and they found Simon. Mark 15, verse 21 tells us that Simon was passing by. Simon was there by God's plan and providence. As Christians, we don't believe in luck. We don't believe in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. We believe a sovereign God orchestrates our comings and our goings. And Simon's carrying the cross was therefore no coincidence. Was Simon reluctant? Perhaps he was. There's a lot of reasons why this would have been a nasty business to carry the cross. Carrying a cross rendered the person unclean to continue to participate in Passover services. And that was the purpose of him being there, to participate in the Passover. And now, by virtue of his connection with the cross, he couldn't, because he was considered ceremonially unclean to participate in the Passover service. And carrying the cross was also extremely difficult and taxing on the body. And when you think of Simon, what he saw, a man covered in blood, a man with a strange, twisted crown of thorns upon his head, what do you suppose Simon thought or felt when the Romans seized him to carry the cross? Perhaps he felt compassion, confusion, revulsion, anger, bitterness. Perhaps a combination of all these things were running through the heart and mind of this man, Simon. In Luke's gospel, Simon carries the cross after Jesus. We know later that the Lord Jesus Christ slips and falls and comforts the women of Jerusalem. What happens as Simon carries that burden to the top of the hill? What happens as Simon sees and hears the sounds around the cross? Does Simon stay and see the prisoner nailed to the cross? Does he listen when Jesus prays and speaks? All these questions must go unanswered. We just don't know. A theologian observes, one might say every Christian is both Simon of Cyrene and a Barabbas. Like Barabbas, we escaped the cross, for Jesus died in our place. And like Simon of Cyrene, we carry the cross, for he calls us to take it up and follow him. Now, we do have every good reason to believe that the experience of carrying the cross changed Simon's life and the life of his family. There's an important detail in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, 21, that says that Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Later, in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, we read, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine," Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Many Bible commentators believe that Rufus is referring to the son of Simon. Paul uses words of deep affection for Rufus and his mother. And that's a good sign, a good indication that Simon was a child of God. We can't say dogmatically, but we can hope from this other scripture that Simon perhaps did come to know the Lord. Did the truth and power of the cross impact Simon's heart? Did Simon come to understand that the Old Testament Passover lamb was a mere foreshadowing of the better and final Passover lamb, Jesus Christ? You think about Simon's experience carrying the cross. He was going to the Passover service to see the lamb slain, but he here was literally seeing the Lamb of God being sacrificed and slain for the sins of his people. Through his sinless life and sacrificial death, Jesus became the only one capable of giving people a way to escape death and a sure hope of eternal life. And that's something I'm thankful for. During the month of November, we tend to have moments where we consider what we're thankful for, and we're thankful for a lot of things. But the one thing that the Lord really impressed upon my heart this November season is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ. Isn't that the most single, most important thing that we as believers are thankful for? For without the cross, where would we be today? For without the cross, there would be no atonement for our sin. There would be no hope for those who have been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really what makes the Christian Thanksgiving unique and special compared to the secular and worldly Thanksgiving. The child of God rejoices and praises the Lord for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the teaching in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 34 of Christ, when he said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Even before Christ was to take up the literal cross, he was teaching the concept of taking up the cross to his followers. Simon was the one who literally took up the cross. But the words of Christ have a broader application than just this man, Simon. This application applies to all who profess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. What does it mean to carry our cross? To carry our cross means we are willing to pick up the instrument of our own death. And what is the instrument of our own death? Death to self. Death to self. To carry the cross means, in part, to deny oneself every day. As John the Baptist said, that we might decrease and that the Lord Jesus might increase. It's another way of saying that we must take up our cross daily. To deny oneself is not limited to a denial of pleasure or position or passions, but rather it means to turn from the most wicked and selfish form of idolatry, self-centeredness. And that's at the heart of sin, is the self-centeredness of man. Martin Luther, again, was not fearful so much of the Pope in Rome, but he was fearful of the Pope that resided in his own heart, which he called self. And he knew the struggle that he had. It was a daily struggle. And yet he knew the victory over that struggle as he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ and as he accepted Christ and believed in Christ and allowed Christ to take control of his life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Following Christ means we will die. Our passions will die. Our possessions will die. Our reputations will die. We can no longer live to self as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't serve two masters. We have to serve the one who has purchased us with his own precious blood. And for the child of God, Christ is the most precious thing there is on this earth. For without Christ, we have nothing. We can do nothing. We have no purpose in life without the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's the beauty and the wonder of the gospel, is that the gospel gives us purpose. You know, we struggle with that sometimes when we go through life changes, when we go through dramatic changes in our life. We struggle with the concept of purpose. What's my purpose in life? And we try to introspect ourselves and analyze ourselves to the point where we become frustrated and even despondent and depressed. But the purpose of the child of God is defined not in himself or herself, but in Christ, in our union with him, in our relationship with him, in our identification with him. That's what gives us purpose and meaning in life. And that's what changes the direction of the sinner from a direction of destruction and darkness without purpose to now, in the gospel, we have a purpose, we have meaning, we have significance. And it's all tied up in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not tied up with our jobs. It's not tied up with our status. It's not tied up with our possessions. But it's tied up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when all those things perish and go away, what do we have left? We have what Job was left with. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He still had the most precious thing in his life, and that was the Lord. For he knew his Redeemer liveth. And so too, for the child of God, when we come to Christ and carry our cross, we daily put ourselves to death, but then we also are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I had Dr. Allison read this portion of Scripture. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Don't you sense the purpose-driven verse that Paul writes here in Galatians 2, verse 20? "I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Here's a man with purpose. Here's a man who's sharing the purpose of life. Death to self and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You could say it another way. Crucifixion with Christ means death to or separation from the reigning power of the old sinful life and freedom to experience the power of the resurrected life of Christ by faith. And who here, don't we need more of that resurrected power of life in Christ in our daily walk with the Lord? We need his power, his grace, his mercy. We need him, the Lord Jesus, to help us. Because who can crucify the flesh? Who can crucify self without being helped by the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? No one can. It's a task far above us. We read in Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, and this is what Paul says. He wants the people of God in the church of Rome to know this, not just with their heads, but he wanted them to know this with their hearts, to embrace it. Know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Paul writes in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. When we forget ourselves, we remember the things that matter the most. The Greek philosopher Socrates said, "The most important thing in life is to know yourself." Marcus Aurelius believed the most important thing was to control yourself. Other philosophers said, "Give yourself the pleasures and the things of the world." What was Jesus' statement? Jesus said, "Deny yourself." And this is the crux of the matter when it comes to the gospel. We can't deny ourselves unless we are born from above, unless Christ has done that work and continues to do that work in our hearts to crucify the flesh daily with the lusts and the desires of the heart that wage war against the soul. And this is an intense struggle that we, all believers, struggle with. And this is really what is illustrated here in this man, Simon of Cyrene. He shows to us how vital and important it is to take up the cross, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to put self below Christ. When you consider all that our Lord had endured since his arrest, is it surprising that his strength failed? He went through so much. Indeed, he could have called 10,000 angels to help him, yet he willingly bore the sufferings on our behalf, on undeserving sinners. He bore these sufferings. He bore the cross. He went to Golgotha, where he became sin for his people. And the imputation of that sin was given to Christ, and then in turn, the exchange was that we received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Christ was treated as the guilty one. And yet we're the guilty ones. We're the ones that deserved to be judged and condemned. But yet it was Christ who bore that cross, who took upon himself that suffering. And so too, as followers of Christ, Christ calls us to go ahead and take up that cross of crucifying self. We all struggle with it, brethren, from the oldest to the youngest. That is the idol that creeps in and has the potential to dominate our lives. We become so self-centered that we become blinded to the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Often the top-selling books in America have some kind of self-help, self-aware, self-serving theme. Have you ever heard this saying? There once was a nymph named Narcissus from Greek mythology who thought himself very delicious. So he stared like a fool at his face in a pool, and his folly today is still with us. The curse of narcissism finds its way in our society, doesn't it? Paul warns Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Simon of Cyrene was the stranger who helped the Lord Jesus Christ carry the cross. For that, he is remembered in the pages of Scripture. Simon may have borne the cross part of the way to Golgotha, but Jesus bore the full load of the sins of everyone who will believe on him. And that is why God's people are thankful for the cross of Christ, because it is at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burden of our hearts rolled away. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this simple message about a man who was forced to carry a cross, but yet there's so many spiritual truths that we can glean from this, Lord. Lord, we confess that we struggle in the flesh to crucify the flesh, to crucify self. And Lord, we can't do it in our own strength. We don't have the power. We don't have the energy, the resources. But you do, Lord. The gospel does. Help us to live in the reality of the gospel, to live in the reality of the power of God. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. We need to believe the gospel, Lord. We need to have the power to not just overcome our sin and to see that sin crucified, but to see Christ glorified in our lives. Lord, maybe there's someone here today who's self-centered, who just thinks about themselves constantly, and it shows in their conversation, it shows in their speech, it shows in their actions. We pray, Lord, that they will heed the message of the cross today, that they might crucify themselves and take up the cross and live in the power and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're thankful for today. We love you, Lord. We love you for the cross. We love you for your willingness to go to the cross and die for undeserving sinners, which we all are. And we thank you, Father, that we can live in victory and in triumph because Christ is for us. He's on our side, and he has done the work that we could not do in saving our souls. So thank you, Lord, for this message from your word. Thank you for this worship service. You are deserving of all our praise and honor. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.